Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who's going to take care of my mom or my dad? You know, they take, you know, one of the things I talk about all the time is they took care of you. Now, are you going to take care of them? Are you going to be there when they need it? So who's going to take care of mom? Who's going to take care of dad or grandma and grandpa or a spouse? Glad to have you with us. Assets and Aging for 18 years here on KFBK, California, and probably the country's longest running show on the issues of aging. Glad to have you with us. I'm your host here that entire time. I have been doing this for more than 25 years and remain California's single best source for information regarding the issues of aging. There's a lot of Johnny-come-latelys. There's a lot of ne'er-do-wells. There's a lot of stuff floating around out there. I had somebody come into my office this week that has spent $400,000 on a nursing home because they were told that they had to. They sold the house and spent all of that money. I had somebody else in my house this week who was told they couldn't get their mother or their father on Medi-Cal because they owned a house and they weren't allowed to own a house in order to get Medi-Cal to help pay the nursing home bill. There's a lot of misinformation floating around. There's a lot of stuff floating around that is not true, that is not correct, that is not whatever. So California's single best source for the information on aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, right here on KFPK, as I said, for 18 years. If you care about someone in your family, if there's someone in your family, maybe it's you, getting older, becoming more frail, becoming more worrisome, then this is where you need to be. Remember, I'm not an attorney. Don't practice law. Don't give legal advice. If you want an attorney, preferably you should consult one that actually knows what they're talking about. And I actually know some of them. You know, there are some still some people around town, some attorneys around town, folks, who are talking about a law called Granny Goes to Jail that went away, was never enforced, and it dates back to when Janet Reno was the Attorney General of the United States. And they use that to help manipulate people into believing that if you don't do what they tell you to do, that someone's going to go to jail. And I'm telling you that there's just so much stuff floating around, folks. There is no Granny Goes to Jail. Technically, it's still on the books. It's not enforced, and it's not enforceable. So be careful of what you hear and what people tell you and all of that kind of stuff. So if people are scaring you into stuff, then they're not telling you the truth. So I'm not an attorney. I don't want to be. I have a California insurance license I have had for 40 years. I'm glad I have it. It helps me stay informed. I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be. For all of you who think that the stock market is not rigged, raise your hands, please. Thank you very much. Let's see what else. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only. It is not intended to be any form of legal, tax, or other advice. It's my editorial opinion only. What else? I'm a notary. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County. So if there's anything else I should have said, consider it said. I'm going to talk about a couple things today. One of them is about caregivers and the other one's about money. And you'll understand more about the money thing in a minute because I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Remember, there's lots of places you can get information as you listen to the show. One is this show is also up on my website. So if you can't listen to it, or you can't listen to the whole show, or you know somebody that's not up, they can go to my website and listen to this show. My website is assetsandaging.com. Again, that's assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can go there, you can listen to my radio show, you can listen to my podcasts. My podcasts are up every, I do them live every Wednesday at noon. Every Wednesday at noon. And so you're welcome to go there and listen to my podcasts. Also on my webpage, you can sign up for one of my upcoming workshops. I have another workshop coming up in the near future, probably within the next couple weeks. You can also sign up for my free email newsletter list. Make sure you do that. And you can ask me questions. You can send me an email asking me a question. And then, of course, on my webpage is my phone number. And you can always contact me by phone at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. But a good place, a good source of information. All my radio shows and my podcasts are archived, and you're welcome to go there and listen. What else do I need to say? I don't know. I forgot something, probably. Oh, and I Twitter. I tweet at Assets and Aging. I'm not great at it, but I'm getting better at tweeting and retweeting important stuff. For instance, I think I put it up on Twitter. But I just retweeted something on how they have found the gene they believe that creates Alzheimer's in children as young as 3. And that's an interesting place to go. There's a lot of interesting stuff being done on dementia and Alzheimer's issues. I'll talk about some of that in the second half hour. Okay, I want to talk about the single most important thing when it comes to long-term care. There is nothing more important than what I'm going to talk about. Nothing. It is the single most important issue when it comes to long-term care. It's simple, it's identifiable, and anyone who does what I do for a living will tell you the same thing. The single most important subject when it comes to long-term care. And when I use the term long-term care, I'm not talking about long-term care insurance. I'm talking about home care, assisted living, boarding cares, independent living, nursing homes. I'm talking about that. The single most important thing is money. Money is going to determine where you live. Money is going to determine how you're taken care of. Money is going to determine what facility you get to go in. Money is going to get to determine if you get to stay at home or you have to go live with your daughter. Money is going to determine everything. When you need care, the number one subject is money. I know somebody right now who's taking care of somebody. It's a caregiving agency. They're taking care of someone right now, round the clock, 24 hours a day in their home, and it's $10,000 a month, and that's not unusual. So that's last time I checked, that's $120,000 a year for home care. Nursing homes are $9,000 a month, $8,000 a month. So again, you're looking at $100,000 a year. Assisted living is $5,000 a month. You're looking at $60,000 a year. So for all of those things, the issue is always money and the sources of money, whether that's VA benefits, whether that's your pocketbook, whether that's Medi-Cal, whether it's your children. The number one source, the number one concern, I should say, is money. Everything else flows from that. Because if you're going to stay home, where's the money coming from to pay the caregiver? If you're going to go to assisted living, where's the money going to come from to pay for that? If you're going to, and I can go on and on and on, you get the point. If you can't answer the first question, then you are now no longer making decisions. Decisions will be made for you by default. It's as simple as that. If you can't address, again, let's assume for a minute that you're going to need long-term care in some sort, whether that's home care or assisted living or a nursing home. And let's assume for a minute you're going to need long-term care for 3 years. That's $50,000 a year for 3 years is $150,000. And we're not even talking expensive. I just said $50,000 a year. So if we're going to have to spend $50,000 a year paying for long-term care, where's the money come from? If I can't afford $10,000 or $12,000 to stay at home or to keep mom at home, then she can't stay at home. Where's she going to go and how's she going to pay for that? Everything revolves around money when it comes to long-term care. Even if you're looking at long-term care insurance, which I don't sell, what's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't own long-term care insurance, which they should own, which is what? I can't afford it. I don't have the money to pay the premiums. If you can't pay the premiums, then tell me how in the you-know-what are you going to afford $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 a year for care? Do you understand how central the discussion of money is to everything that you do when it comes to long-term care? There are currently 5.5 million people in the United States with Alzheimer's. Just Alzheimer's. We're not talking about anything, just Alzheimer's. They all need care of some type. All of that care costs what? Money. Where's the money coming from to take care of them? I don't know. You have to answer the question. It's not my question to answer. But you have to have the answer to that question. Where's the money going to come from? And as you begin to look at money, you need to look at it honestly. What do I really have available to me? And you sit down with a yellow pad or a piece of paper or the back of an envelope or a post-it note or something. And you start by saying, how much money do I have in cash assets? Stocks, bonds, savings, CDs, checking, money markets, annuities. How much money do I have in liquid assets? IRAs. How much do I have? And you write that number down. Whether it's $20,000 or $50,000 or $400,000, you have to know that number because that's what's going to take care of you. Then you have to say, do I own a house? If so, how much is your house worth? Because your house may be the biggest asset you have, and you down the road may be asking your house to help pay for care, either through its sale or through a reverse mortgage or through some other means. Are you beginning to get the drift of what I'm talking about? Money is central to determining where I'm going to live, who's going to take care of me, and how am I going to pay for it. Then you need to factor in your income. If you're married, you can say, well, we make $4,000 a month. Okay, what happens if dad dies? What's mom's income going to be? Is mom going to start going through the money faster, even if she doesn't need care? So if mom and dad have built a lifestyle around $4,000 a month, and when dad dies, the income goes to $2,000 a month, then mom may have to start dipping into their savings just to support her normal lifestyle. That means what? It's simple. It means we're going to go through the reserves, you know, the rainy day money. We're going to start going through that faster, and there's going to be less money for the survivor to pay for care. We have to look at this stuff in real time and in real numbers and in reality. You know, facts are good. Facts are wonderful. I can give you lots of facts. I can tell you that, you know, that the average caregiver, for instance, spends $5,000 a year out of their own pocket taking care of a family member. I can tell you that lots of caregivers, I can give you the facts that show that lots of caregivers lose their jobs because they're taking care of a parent because they can't go to work anymore. I have someone right now that they were threatened with the loss of their job because they were taking so much time off to take care of a parent. Facts are wonderful. Action, though, is all that matters. I can give you all the facts in the world, but at the end of the day, I can tell you for a certainty that if you haven't dealt with the reality of that money is what's going to take care of you, then you will wind up broke. When you fail, when the stroke hits, when the heart attack hits, when the dementia hits, when the frailty hits, you're going to wind up broke because you never thought about that at the core of all of this is money. So what you do with your money, how you invest your money, the risk you're willing to take with money, the returns you could get with money are really important. Now, when you sit down with the average financial planner, what they always talk about is rates of return, rates of return, rates of return. This makes this much. This stock makes this much. This mutual fund makes this much. This what savings account or CD makes this much. Nobody, except this radio program, talks about it in terms of what that money is what that money will take care of if you need long-term care. So you go to the bank and you're satisfied with making 0.5%. Or, wow, Bob, I'm getting 1% on my CD. Do you know, wait a minute, somewhere I saved the article, I think. Because it was so stunning that maybe I didn't, yes. Yeah, let's stop and think about this for a minute. Okay, I'm reading an article from the Wall Street Journal. I saved this just for here in the newspaper. I saved this. This is from the Tuesday, July 19th, Wall Street Journal page. Where's the page number on this thing? Let me find the page number. I can't find the page number. Anyhow, it should be on here somewhere. Oh, C2. CalPERS. The largest, now stop and think about this for a minute, those of you that have pensions. The largest pension in the world. How much money does CalPERS have? Does it even say $295 billion in assets? Now, do you know what they base all of their calculations on? They base them all on 7.5% return. How many of you are getting 7.5%? The Fed's not even charging any interest. Do you know how much CalPERS made last year? How many of you read the article? Take a guess. Come on. Their target is always 7.5%. By the way, I didn't go to past years. I'm just looking at what they admit that they made in 2015. Do you know how much they made? Point six percent return. Now, if you're calculating all your pensions and everything on a 7.5% return on $300 billion, at 7%, that means you're calculating a return of somewhere between $22 and $25 billion. If you make less than 1% on a $300 billion portfolio, how much is 1% of $300 billion? That's $3 billion. And you made less than that, so you made about $600 million, not $22 to $25 billion on your portfolio. So if CalPERS is saying the biggest geniuses on the planet made 0.6%, what do you think you're going to get? Are you willing to take new ways of thinking about things? I'm not offering anything. I'm not soliciting anything. I'm just trying to tell people you need to think about money in a new way. Are you willing to look at things you haven't thought about before? Are you willing to look at money in terms of being able to multiply it so it will take care of me? Not just leave an inheritance. Everybody's worried about the inheritance they leave to their children. I love my kids. I adore my children. I have great kids. I love them. Okay? But right now, as we grow older, my wife and I and our care comes first. If there's anything left over, then they get it. So how many of you have really sat down and talked with anybody financially about how to plan for your care? How to plan for you growing older? I had one of my best friends in my house last weekend. And one of the things that they talked about was they're getting older and they're sitting there and they're going, you know, what do you think our money will last? We're sitting there in the house because they know what I do. And they're going, you know, we're getting older. They're a little bit older than I am. And they're going, you know, if we need care, are we going to be able to take care of each other? Or are we going to be able to take care of ourselves if one of us dies? And all of that kind of stuff. And to their credit, they're at least thinking about it because they know what I do for a living. They're at least thinking about it in terms of how does what we have going to be available to take care of us? Are you thinking that way? Or do you just go out shopping for the best money market rate you can get? Or the best dividend you can get? Or the best interest rate you can get? Or the whatever? Do you ever think about different ways of looking at what you have in terms of how it will provide for your care, your spouse's care, your nana's care, your grandpa's care, your Aunt Beulah's care, your whoever it is? The other thing we're going to talk about in the second half hour is caregivers and who takes care of me. But I'm more and more and more spending more time here and in my podcasts and in my appointments. And by the way, if you want to talk about this, my consultations are free. If you really want to discuss a new way of looking at what you have in terms of how it's going to take care of me, then give me a call, 800-999-8007. Get in and be willing to talk about it. But you have to open your brain to be willing to talk about it. We need to think in new ways as we get older. It's one thing when we're 35 years old and we are looking at 40 or 50 years out. It's another thing when we're 75 or 80 years old, or our parents are 75 or 80 or 85 years old. We need to look at money in a new and different way. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to stretch yourself and stretch your thinking so that when you need care, you don't have to worry about, is it going to run out? Money is the core of long-term care. Everything else flows from that. Where you're going to live, how you're going to live, where you're going to live, who's going to take care of you. Everything flows from the issue of money. I wish you could sit with me and my clients and listen to the people who wound up putting somebody in a nursing home, not necessarily because they needed to be there, but because they didn't have the money to take care of them at home or in assisted living or in a boarding care or somewhere else, and the guilt that they feel in having to do that. If you're serious about beginning to think of new ways to deal with money, then give me a call. Come in and see me, and we'll talk about your situation. No, there is no magic bullet. Every circumstance is different. Every answer is different. So don't call me and ask me for a brochure. But if you're serious about sitting down and talking, the consultation is free. You can send me an email by going to my email but going by website at assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, or the simple way is pick up the phone and call my office, 800-999-8007. The consultation is free. Just say, I'm ready to come in and sit down and talk about this in serious terms. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. If you're willing to begin to have the conversation about money, remembering that the core of all long-term care issues and planning and everything else is money, because that's what's going to take care of you. That's what's going to decide where you live. That's going to decide your level of care. We'll be back in a couple minutes right here on Assets and Aging. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. There's more to come. 800-999-8007. Call me during the break. Set up your appointment. We'll see you in a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Been talking about money as the core of long-term care issues, of who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it. Again, I want to emphasize it again. When people come to me and say, you know, mom's failing, one of the first things I want to know is what kind of money is available. Because that's what's going to determine where mom might live or dad's going to live. That's going to determine whether they can stay at home and pay for a caregiver. That's going to determine all of that. All of that flows from the question of money. So when I emphasize how important it is and the importance of beginning to think about it in new ways, I'm not making it up out of whole cloth, folks. It comes from 25 years of watching people go broke because no one wanted to deal with it. If your idea of planning for long-term care is to put it in a CD at 0.5%, then go ahead and do it. If your idea of long-term care is to make sure that you understand how what you have can be used to keep you in the softest level of care possible, then give me a call today at 800-999-8007 and get in and see me. Okay, I want to talk about my other favorite subject. Let me find it. By the way, another thing I read this, I read a lot, folks. That's why you should subscribe to my newsletter. I'm working on my next newsletter. If you haven't gone to my website and signed up for my newsletter, you should. 800-99, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up there for my free newsletter. But let me read you something. This is from the Associated Press. I can't remember where I read this. It's from the Associated Press. Remember the part about where healthcare costs were going to go down? Do you all remember that? Do you remember, oh, healthcare, we're going to get healthcare for everybody and costs are going to go down and all that stuff's going to go down? Well, by the way, the number I'm about to give you is going to grow, it's estimated, at 5.8% for the next 10 years. So the number I'm giving you, if you compounded it out at 5% a year, 5.8%, you're going to come up with a number you're not going to believe. In fact, you're going to believe I'm making up the number, but I assure you, I'm not making up the number. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, when I say money is the core of all of this, listen to this. For the first time in the history of America, the average per American, for healthcare costs in a year is now $10,345 for every man, woman, and child in America, a total of $3.35 trillion dollars. I have told you guys for years, Social Security ain't the issue. Healthcare and Medicare and Medicaid are. Medi-Cal. I've been trying to tell everybody that. Nobody listens to me. So when they cut, you know, they tell you that it's only going to cost an extra $60 million in the state budget because of what they did to estate recovery, it's only $60 million. Now stop and think about that for a minute. I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. This year, for the first time in history, the average cost for healthcare per person in the United States exceeded $10,000. The actual number was $10,345 for every man, woman, and child. So that's $3.35 trillion a year, and that is expected to go, according to the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, that's expected to grow by 5.8% per year for the next 10 years. Compounded, that means that the cost of healthcare per person will go up to just under $20,000 per person in the next 10 years. So when I said in the first half of the show that money is at the core of all medical care, all long-term care, all everything, I'm not kidding. For Medicare, the average cost for every Medicare human being in America, now listen to this, by 2025, last year, 2015, every Medicare recipient cost on average of $12,000 per beneficiary in 2015. By 2025, that's expected to be $18,000 per year. So when I keep telling you that Social Security ain't the time bomb, I know I said ain't. I said it for effect. Social Security ain't the time bomb, folks. It's Medicare and Medi-Cal and Medicaid. We now have 30% of the population of the state of California on Medi-Cal. So when you hear people say, we got more people on getting health insurance now, remember, we have 30% of the population of the state of California getting their health care through Medi-Cal, which is a government-funded, taxpayer-funded program. No premiums go into it. So when I start saying, and people are going to ridicule me, I'll get phone calls, I know. People don't like to hear about it, but it's not my numbers. It's the Department of Health and Human Services. So when I say money's the core of all of this, it is. Now I want to switch gears, because I've spent enough time on money. By the way, again, if you're serious about beginning to rethink how you do everything in terms of long-term care and providing for care and making sure you don't lose everything through care, then give my office a call, leave me a message, and we'll set up a free consultation, 800-999-8007. Okay, so this is from the Wall Street Journal. It's the only newspaper in America, folks. I'm telling you. It's the only newspaper in America that gives a you-know-what about elder issues. Nobody else cares. They care about that a 95-year-old parachuted. That's not an elder issue. But I want to read you something from the Wall Street Journal, Personal Journal, Tuesday, July 19th. I've read another article there out of there earlier. Tuesday, July 19th on page D1. D as in dog. And it's one of my favorite subjects in the whole world, which is caregivers. You know, the two great questions in life are who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? In the beginning, we talked about how I'm going to pay for it, and you probably don't have the answers. You should have the answers, but you don't. That's why you need to get to a workshop. You need to get in and see me. The other one is who's going to take care of you. So at the bottom of this page, July 19th, Wall Street Journal, page D1, is when you become the nurse for a family member. And I'm going to read from this article written by Laura Landreau. I don't know who she is, but she's one of my heroes, just because she wrote this article. When I say this to people, they don't believe me. As hospitals send patients home after shorter stays. Okay. How many of you are... No, I don't have time to talk about it. Why are doctors sending people home after shorter stays? Because of this thing called the Affordable Care Act and the difference between admission and observation and what Medicare will pay for and the penalties that are in the Affordable Care Act if you go back to a hospital and the hospital loses money. I'm not making this up. You know, go read about that. Listen to another one of my shows on that. I don't have time for it today. But people are not staying in hospitals. And I don't even want to go into, because I don't have time, the number of people who go to the hospital for 3 days, then go to rehab, think Medicare is going to cover it, and they get a bill for $15,000 from the rehab facility because they weren't in the hospital for 3 days. They were only there for 1 day, but I was in the hospital 3 days, Bob, but you were there under observation, not admitted. We don't have time to talk about that one either. That's why, have you planned? Okay, so anyhow, as hospitals and patients send patients home after shorter stays, and many patients live with multiple chronic diseases, more families are taking on complicated medical tasks. That includes giving injections, changing surgical dressings, and operating special medical equipment, often with little instruction. I would add, most of the time, with no instruction, you're sent home with a form that you don't understand from the discharge planner at the hospital. Don't even get me started on medical care. How many of you know that your family practice doctor can't admit you to the hospital? Anyhow, let's keep moving on. An estimated 43.5 million adults provide care at home for a chronically ill, disabled, or elderly relative, according to a 2015 report by AARP. Not some whack job organization, AARP. Now, the population of the United States is a little over 300 million people. That means 43 million people are taking care of at least 43 million other people. Do you understand that? So 80 to 90 million people are either being taken care of or are taking care of someone else. Do you understand how staggering that number is? Well, Bob, I'm never going to let that happen to myself. Well, none of these 43.5 million adults who are caring for someone else ever thought they would be taking care of a relative. None of them thought that. They all lived in oblivion until it happened. I'm sorry to be harsh, but some of you are living in oblivion because you believe it's not going to happen to you or to your family. And I'm telling you that 43, according to AARP, 43.5 million adults provide care to a chronically ill or disabled elderly relative, according to AARP. Now, let that sink in for a minute. You know, there's lots of things in the world we're concerned about, and we should be. But what we don't talk about, because politicians don't like talking about it, folks, go call up your local congressman or your local assemblyman or and say, what are you doing for relief for caregivers? And you'll get a fact sheet that talks about all the wonderful things they're thinking about. None of them care. None of them care. Do you know how many nonprofits exist out there supposedly caring for the elderly when you find out, when you look at their tax returns and you look at what they're doing, that they really exist for themselves. I'm not saying there aren't organizations out there that do wonderful jobs, folks. But why is it that we have 43.5 million adults taking care of other adults or disabled children? Wait a minute. I thought this was all solved. I'm going to keep reading. Now a new push is underway to train family caregivers in skills once only provided by medical professionals in hospitals and nursing homes. Since 2013, I'm reading from this article, 31 states and territories, including New Jersey and Oklahoma, have enacted laws that require hospitals to notify a designated caregiver before a patient is discharged and provide them the opportunity to ask questions about medical and nursing tasks the patient will need at home. I cannot begin to tell you, in my years of doing this, how many people are discharged by hospitals or rehab centers home and their families don't even know that they've gone home. I sat in a hospital once. This was some time ago. I was taking care of someone. And the discharge planner came to me and said, Bob, we're going to send him home. And I said, you are? When? They said, well, as soon as we can arrange for transportation. Luckily, I happened to be at the hospital. We're going to send him home. And I said, really? And I said, would you mind walking over here with me? And they said, sure. So we walked to the room, and I pointed to the bottom of the person's bed, and I said, what's that? And the discharge planner went, oh. It was a catheter bag, folks. The person was still catheterized, and the discharge planner didn't know that the person was still catheterized. Then I said, 30 minutes ago, the physical therapist left and said that it's not safe for this person to go home because they can't walk right now, that they need to stay here for at least another 2 to 3 days and get physical therapy so they can walk. Did you know that? No. Now, guess who was at home waiting to take care of this person when this person got home? Let's see if you can figure it out. Okay, I'm waiting. Oh, the answer is nobody. So had I not been there that day, they would have simply discharged this person back to their facility, back to their apartment, and nobody would have known about it. Now, can you imagine, only 31 states have actually required that a hospital notify somebody before they're sent home. Stop and think about that for a minute. And then they send them home to a caregiver, a family member. How many of you would know how to give an injection properly? I don't. I kind of do because of my wife's former profession. I could fake it. How many of you know how to change a colostomy bag? How many of you know how to correctly assist someone with walking or standing or sitting or toileting or bathing? Do you think you just tell them, hey, Fred, stand up. They say you're all better now. In the world in which we live, if you're not prepared and your family's not prepared to take care of someone, then you're not only ill-prepared, you're living in oblivion. Read the article, folks. It's not enlightening to me because I've been seeing it for I can't tell you how long. Okay? Now there's a member's of a new AARP alliance, which I'm not going to give you their name. I'm going to read from the article again. Families provide the bulk of the care of our aging population in the home, and many caregivers struggle with the nursing aspects of care, such as managing medications and complex wound care, said the dean of a school of nursing at the University of California, Davis. Now, remember, this is in the Wall Street Journal, folks. You didn't read about it anywhere. While intimidating, it is well within their abilities with the right tools and training. The UC Davis Nursing School has teamed up with AARP to create a series of online how-to videos for family caregivers. Blah, 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 blah. Most caregivers told the researchers, I'm reading from the article, they receive little or no training to perform those tasks. While insurers pay for some home health care services, they are typically limited to a short period, and they don't pay family members, by the way. And they are typically limited to a short period after discharge. Nearly 70% of patients had no home visit from a healthcare professional after a hospital discharge, the AARP and United Hospital Fund research found. But even when encouraged to ask questions, family members often don't know what they don't know until they get home and have to. You don't know what questions to ask, folks. How do you know what questions to ask? Well, you know, the hospital or somebody will say, well, they never asked any questions. Well, how many of you would even know what question to ask? How do you know how to work? How many of you know how to work a concentrator? Do you know what a concentrator is? Do you know how it's different from oxygen? Do you know how to operate the tube? Do you know how to change a catheter? Do you know how to empty a catheter bag? Do you know how to dress a wound? Do you know how to do all that kind of stuff? I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on. The nursing skills I'm reading. The nursing skills came in handy when the Mrs. Bennett, this is somebody mentioned in the article, mother-in-law, 80-year-old, blah, blah, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She now lives with the Bennetts during the week and with their daughter, Julie, on weekends. Mrs. Blah, 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 blah. So, again, you have one caregiver, the daughter, during the week, and you have another caregiver on the weekend. I'm not saying don't do that. What I'm saying is, how many of you are prepared for what that really means? How many of you are really prepared to understand who's going to take care of you? How are you going to take care of your mom or your dad? Do you have the authorization to take care of them? Do you have the authorization to make financial and medical decisions for them? Do you know how to do that? Do you know how long their money is going to last? Do you know how to hire a caregiving agency? Do you know how to do the things that are going to be required of a caregiver? If you don't know the answer to those things, then you're not going to be prepared. Because again, the two basic questions, what are they? Who's going to take care of me? And how are they going to pay for it? And if you're going to be the caregiver, like these 43, how many, what was the number? 43.5 million adults that are taking care of somebody else who's ill or frail. Were they prepared? Are they prepared? Are they doing the right things? How many of them have lost time away from work? How many of them, let me tell you what, I can't tell you how many caregivers I've had in who have not only gone through all of mom's money, but most of their own money paying for care. I have clients who've lost their jobs taking care of somebody, which means now they're impoverished. And this is not a question about love. Well, Bob, they should be willing to do that because they love that person. That doesn't even factor into the equation. Of course they love the person. That doesn't mean they're prepared to deal with what's coming. Are you living in oblivion when it comes to money, when it comes to the reality of being a caregiver? People tell me all the time, well, Bob, I don't want to be a burden on my children. Well, what have you done to make sure that you're not going to be a burden on your children? Saying the words doesn't make it so. Saying the words, I want to stay at home, doesn't make it so. Saying the words, I never want to go to a nursing home, doesn't make it so. Just before I did this show, I had somebody in my office say, I'll never go into a nursing home. And I said, oh yeah? And then I proceeded to ask them how many people they knew in nursing homes, and they gave me names. And I said, how many of them said the same thing that you just said? Why are you so much smarter that you think you can avoid it? Saying the words doesn't make it so. Action makes it so. Are you prepared to take action so that you know for a certainty who's going to take care of you and how you're going to pay for it? Are you willing to take the action necessary to make sure that your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or spouse or whoever it is gets the care that they need and that you're prepared for it financially, mentally, emotionally, and practically? If you're not, then go to my website, assetsandaging.com. That, remember I said words don't make it so, action does. And the first action is to get in and see me. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. ASSETSANDAGING. You can set up an appointment. You can sign up for a workshop. You can sign up for my newsletter. Or call me and get in to see me. The consultation is free. But only if you're serious. Only if you're ready to quit thinking about it and take action. Again, remember, saying it doesn't make it so. 800-999-8007. Don't forget my website. Don't forget you can listen to my other radio shows, which are archived on my website. Don't forget my podcast live every Wednesday, also on my website. Lots of ways to get information and help. Start with the phone call, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Take action today. Words don't make it so. Action does. I look forward to talking to you again next week or seeing you at my upcoming workshop. Have a great day. Bye-bye.